Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, 2019. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're on page 26 today, and we're at the very first paragraph. We're going to unpack that one paragraph today. Starts with a certain American businessman and ends with a satisfactory explanation for his fall. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Laura R., the 12 traditions, Karen B. Reading the text today in support would be Wendy B., Mo H. for page 164, and Leslie M. in case anything goes awry. And she's going to do double duty by doing announcements and wait for it. Ramona A. will be greeting those newcomers and getting sponsor contact information once the recording is stopped. So don't leave us until the top of the hour.
Good morning.
The share ID numbers for the yesterday's meeting, for the 10 a.m. meeting, is 12896, 12,896. That would be for Monday, May 13th, 2019. And then this morning, we already had a Big Book study meeting, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting for Tuesday, May 14th, 2019. That share ID number is 12898, 12,898. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Laura R. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. Pass.
Thank you, Laura R. And Karen B., would you please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous?
Yes, good morning. This is Karen B. in Utah. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Karen B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that the sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted, and please utilize the star 1 muting process rather than just muting your own handheld set. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter There Is a Solution. We're on page 26 at paragraph 1 today. We're landing right there, and we're going to unpack that single paragraph. Starts with a certain American businessman and ends with satisfactory explanation for his fall. And I'm going to ask Wendy B. to read that paragraph and share her experience, strength, and hope on it. Hi, Wendy.
Yeah, hi. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. A certain American businessman had ability, good sense, and high character. For years, he had floundered from one sanitarium to another. He had consulted the best-known American psychiatrist. Then he had gone to Europe, placing himself in the care of a celebrated physician, Dr. Young, who prescribed for him. Though experience had made him skeptical, he finished his treatment with unusual confidence. His physical and mental condition were unusually good. Above all, he believed he had acquired such a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind and its hidden springs that relapse was unthinkable. Nevertheless, he was drunk in a short time. More baffling still, he could give himself no satisfactory explanation for his fall. So, as we know, this is Roland Hazard, and he spent a year, like, in rehab, and he ended up drunk in a short time. So this was the start of the chain of events that started AA, and I'm not really good at history. You know, other people are really gifted in explaining the history, and it's really fascinating. So I'm just going to talk about the statement that says he believed he had acquired such a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind and its hidden springs that relapse was unthinkable. And I was in therapy for a long time, you know, when I was coming out of the cult and a dysfunctional marriage, and it helped a lot to get my thinking straightened out, you know, but it didn't touch my addictive personality. You know, I got free from my religious addiction, but then I was in my alcoholism and my sugar addiction, and I wasn't about to, you know, come clean to my therapist about that. I wasn't ready to quit, you know, and I was still jumping from relationship to relationship, you know, to constantly trying to find an external solution to an internal problem. And I think the inner workings of my mind are so complex, only my creator can understand me. You know, I used to have a longing to be understood, you know, that these, you know, and these rooms, you know, have brought me that fellowship and camaraderie of like-minded fellows that I craved. And I'm so grateful, you know, God brought me into this program where I get to pick up the simple toolkit, you know, these steps, and really address the motivations of my heart, you know, and the roots of my character defects. And I know that if I continue to do this work daily, I won't have to relapse. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Wendy B., the lines are now open for others to be able to comment on that first paragraph on page 26. And I'll take your name, please, if you give it to me slowly. First name, first initial of your last name.
Elaine T.
Elaine T.
Shawn B. In P in Florida.
Is that Shlom? I'm not real sure if I heard that. Is that Shlomit Hanna?
Shlomit Hanna.
Okay, I did hear you. And somebody from Florida.
Robin P.
Robin P. Okay. Okay, I could take three more.
Shawnee B.
Shawnee B. Maybe that's who I heard first, then Shlomit.
I think so.
Do you think it was you I heard first before Shlomit?
I think so.
Okay, let me move you guys around then.
No, that's
and then
fine.
I heard
no,
Julie.
No.
Leave it as it is? Okay, fine.
Thank you.
And did I hear Julie E.B.?
Sorry, moderator. I did. This is Shlomit Hanna. I did share on the meeting yesterday.
Julie E.B.? Shlomit, that's okay. It's only on that first meeting because we have so many that we have that sort of thing put in place, but this meeting we don't. But thanks for saying so.
No problem.
And I heard Julie E.B. Okay, and then I can take one more. Well, let's go with the five then in interest of time. So let's see if I got this in good order. Elaine T., we're going to go with Shlomit Hanna, and then Robin P., then Shawnee B., and then Julie E.B. Okay, hi. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. I'm sorry. I owe you an apology for being late to check in.
Thank you.
In a loop. But I'm here if you need me as a backup. Anyway, this is a great paragraph. I can relate. I was lucky enough to get sent to a psychiatrist who knew the program. And I did do an inpatient program for several months. But I really did come out with the same attitude of knowledge of the inner workings of my mind. Relapse was unthinkable. I got this. And it's not even until now, this last go round of relapse, that I realized that that's my issue, is that I think, well, I've got this. I've got the program. I've got, even with the program, if I go into, I've got this, I'm taking the place of my higher power, and I am going to relapse. But I'm grateful to be able to get back into the program, get back, well, I didn't leave the program, but get back into abstinence, get back into the book, get back into understanding that it's not about what I have. It's about what my higher power has for me. And even with the help of wonderful people, including my psychiatrist, this is the answer. And so I wake up every morning now and try to remind myself, I don't have this. HP has this. What does he want me to do or be today? And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Can't hear you, Melanie.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks, Sherry KB. Appreciate that very much. Watching my back. We have Shlomit Hanna that's coming up now, and then Robin P. will come in after you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm Shlomit Chana, and I just had an epiphany reading this, rereading this this paragraph. And that is, he believed, above all, he believed he had acquired such a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind and his hidden springs that relapse was unthinkable. You know, that is exactly where I was like the last month and a half in my relapse. I had joined another program which deals with some very, very difficult issues, my core issues, trauma issues, etc. And as I was working that program, I started mixing OA, my OA recovery, with that program. And I started believing that if I can get to the depth of the trauma and work through that, then that is going to take care of everything. And you know, that wasn't true. That wasn't true. I had a relapse. And I realized that while recovery in that program is very, very important, it has to be separate from my OA recovery, completely separate, that I have to work, I need to work both programs. And I cannot work my OA program from the inner workings of that program, which deals with more of, I guess, the psychological issues. It is a 12-step program. It is a spiritual program, but it's very different. And I'm so grateful to be reminded of that today, that's what happened to me. That's why I had the relapse. And thank God, I'm on day 7. I'm thrilled, and it's been amazing, and sometimes I'm white-knuckling it. But I'm grateful to be abstinent today, grateful to be in recovery today. And what I realize is that I have to be full force in this recovery. You know, going to the meetings and listening to the message and in touch with people and working the steps. And most importantly, really, really leaning on my higher power. So I'm grateful to be reminded of that difference and how important it is to really keep in mind the spiritual solution and the solution for my compulsive overeating that's outlined in the big book, that's my solution for this program, for this fellowship. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Shlomit Chana. Robin P. is up now, and then Shawnee B. will come in after Robin.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Thank you. God bless you. I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And I was just listening to it thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, self-knowledge avails us nothing. And that's what that's one of the, you know, it can't be truer than that. And I think of how, you know, there was so much self-knowledge here, and it literally availed nothing. And it's really for me about working the program in all my affairs, making sure that I'm giving back because I can't keep what I don't give away, you know, sponsoring people, sharing, keeping my commitments. And, you know, I love in the big book, one of my favorite sentences in the big book is, faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us till we perish. You know, always relying on God instead of self-reliance, because that self-knowledge and that self-reliance led me to the food. And I'm, you know, coming up on 4 years of abstinence one day at a time by God's grace and mercy. And, you know, and through my willingness to take actions and keep doing the next right thing that God would have me do and checking in and really staying, you know, on my spiritual path instead of my self-knowledge path, you know. So God bless everybody in your recoveries with that. I pass. Thank you, Melanie.
You're welcome. Thanks, Robin P. It's Shawnee B., and then Julie E.B. will follow. And then right after Julie E.B., we'll open it up for more. So just be prepared if you want to share. On page 26, we're unpacking the first paragraph. A certain American businessman is the way it starts out. It ends with a satisfactory explanation for his fall. Hi, Shawnee. Thanks for the second there.
Hi. Can I be heard?
You betcha.
Okay. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate your service. It's really interesting. I really try to get on like every 10 a.m. meeting unless I'm like working with a sponsee. And recently, like every single paragraph so relates to what I'm kind of going through right now, which is that abstinence for me was never like, I never like hit like a bottom. And it's been a really, really tough journey, but I'm kind of starting to think, oh, you know, I sort of got this. I keep hearing in my mind that got this. And the miracle of like choosing to get on a meeting and to remember that this is part of the diseased mind is a miracle for me because, oh my God, it's like incessant. And I just wanted to share something for anyone who does not like sponsoring, or I'm personally fairly new to sponsoring, and I'm just like, I have so many other things I prefer to be doing than sponsoring, but I'm finding that through this vulnerable time in my life, in which I'm in my second trimester, I recently just moved into a new home, there's just a lot of instability, but I found that sponsoring has allowed me to remember where I came from. So I don't particularly love it yet. My sponsor tells me, oh, there will come a time where you will you'll want it so badly, but definitely sponsoring others has saved me to remember the pain. I continue every day to forget, oh, I was there. And my mind continues to do these like games, you know, even so being abstinent for this amount of time, it just never gives me a break. And I'm grateful to have sponsees, and I'm grateful to really every day be hearing about people that are in the food and the pain of being in the food. And I don't want to be there, but I have to every single day. It's like that daily reprieve, because it's like, oh my God, an hour ago I heard someone in so much pain, and yet I still think I have this, and I would never be back there again. So I'm grateful for sponsorship, and I'm grateful that my higher power has given me this willingness to show up every single day. It seems like it. I don't even know how it happens, because I don't know. Anyways, thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Shawnee B. Julie E.B., you're up, and then we're going to open up the lines again.
Hello, it's a miracle that you heard my voice over the train. I'm Julie E.B., gratefully recovered. I guess the voice of my disease can be as loud as the train, but, you know, my higher power, when there's something that my higher power has for me, there's really nothing that can get in the way. The startling thought I had is, you know, if you're listening to this and you're still suffering in the food and you're thinking there's no way, I just remember one thing. I would go to any length to get my food. I mean, I stole, I took out the trash, I hid in my room, I ignored the needs that were all around me. And I just thought my life was so bad and so hard. And here's a guy whose life was, by all outward measure, going just great and just fine. And he went to any lengths for the solution. I paid thousands of dollars. That doesn't count the medical bills. But I paid at least over $10,000 towards programs to other people that would solve my problems, like him. I didn't go across any oceans, but I was willing to just find that other person that had the answer. And here's the beauty of this program. We come, as it just said yesterday, we come where there's no middle road solution. We inside ourselves, we're blotting out as best we can our intolerable situation, or we seek spiritual help. I need more. I need different. I need a higher power who speaks to me of love, who speaks kindly to me, who not like the voice in the disease, so says I'm never enough. Not like that voice at all. Speaks to me and says, you're okay. One of the things I was just doing at 10 Step that I do a lot of times with people like me that are so based in shame is I say, well, what would you say to a friend who came to you and said, I'm scared, I'm not enough, I'm no good? And they said, oh, I'd say I'm okay. Well, then why are you saying to yourself, you have to do better? You shouldn't be feeling like this. That's the voice of our disease. And so he went across the sea. And the miracle is he did find one piece. He did find that there was some kind of spiritual, psychic change that needed to happen. Only he couldn't bring it to himself. But we have a set of steps that we can work with another, working one compulsive overeater with another, and we can find a solution, never alone, never coming from just another person, but together. That's what our higher power has for us. And now I live a life that is together and in community. And because of all you, I don't feel so alone today. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. The lines are now open to take additional comments on paragraph 1, page 26 of your big book. If you give me your first
Michelle.
Name, the letter of your last name. Hi, Michelle. First letter of your last name?
J.
Got it.
Lisa J.R.
D.
Linda S.
Sherry K.B.
Something J.R. Who was that?
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R. Okay, then I'll go back
Mag
now to
C.
check those other ones.
Sherry K.B.
Sherry K.B.
Jody
Cindy D.
Jody E.Q. Okay.
Cindy D.
Cindy D.
Linda
Max.
S.
Debbie B.
Linda somebody?
Linda S.
Linda S. Let's see how many I have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can take one more.
Debbie
Max.
C.
Debbie somebody?
Debbie B as in boy.
Debbie B as in boy. And I think I heard a Mag C, but we'll see if we can get two Mags. So I have Lisa J.R., Sherry K.B., Jody E.Q., Cindy D., Linda S., is it Deborah P., is that what I heard, or Debbie somebody? I can't remember. I'm a little off.
I think you heard
today.
Both.
Okay, well, I think I heard, I wrote down Debbie, so that probably is the one.
Okay, I'll Debbie.
And then,
go ahead, Debbie.
And
I didn't hear
Michelle J.
Oh, you are the first one. You're before Lisa J.R. Thanks so much. And so then the last one would be, could be, possibly Meg's C. Okay, thanks, Michelle. You're first, and then Lisa J.R. Mm.
Oh, wow. Michelle J. from Arkansas, recovering compulsive overeater. And you guys hear me every once in a while. I'm the newbie on the block, and I'm loving this because I'm working my 10 step right now for the very first time. And the joy is, all this time I kept thinking, I can't wait to get it. I can't wait to get it. I can't wait to, every day I'm not getting it. I can't wait to get it. There's so much to get. And when I get to the 10th, it's like, oh, not only is life messy, people are messy, the program is a little messy. I have to get up every day and work all the steps. That's getting it. And I will never just get it and it's done. And it's freeing. And I just want to thank you all for being here. Thank you for being my support. It's a joy and a pleasure. And thank you for all of you, the work you're doing. I'm so much more happier, and I'm growing so much, and I'm so excited to never really get it, but yet work on every day getting it. And I love my sponsor. Thank you. And anyways, God bless you all. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Michelle J. Then we have Lisa J.R., and after Lisa will be Sherry K.B. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you, everybody, for being on the line. Lisa J.R. here, gratefully recovered by God's grace from Baltimore. Wow. I can so relate to Roland Hazard. He's one of the people that I first was able to really relate into, you know, when I first started to read the big book. So, you know, I spent years, 40-some years, languishing in trying to figure out the genesis of my problem. You know, where did this come from? And I, too, joined other fellowships that dug into that and, you know, survived getting through through that. But at the end of the day, when I realized, wow, okay, the inner child is the one who acts this way, wow, it didn't matter. It didn't amount to a hill of beans, really, because I was a compulsive overeater, and I still am and always will be. So I was just faced with, what is the solution to my problem? And am I willing to go to any length? You know, going to any length is the death of self. Because, you see, I was born terminally selfish and self-centered. And until I realized and had that moment that Bill Wilson had when he was in the bed drying out thinking, wow, suddenly the thought occurred to him, instead of having a drink, I can help other people. So I work with sponsees vigorously because I know that they keep me green. They keep me aware of the fact that I will never arrive, that I will always be a compulsive overeater. They humble me because, of course, my ego wants to rear up and say, you know, you've got this. You can rest on your laurels. But no, I have to stay green, and I have to continue to work with sponsees. And they remind me every day that I can be, you know, like John Kiernan says, you know, the guy that has a lot of recovery makes a bigger splat when he falls off the 60th floor than the guy who, you know, just falls off the first floor. And I'm just so grateful to be reminded of that with this meeting and with sponsees every day, that I can stay green and fresh. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Sherry K.B., you're next, and then Jody E.Q.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry K.B. in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line, and Team Tuesday, and welcome all the newcomers. I'm just going to dive right in here. Yeah, everybody's been talking about Roland Hazard, and, you know, it's interesting, too, because, you know, Carl Jung was a very famous psychologist, psychiatrist back in the day, very famous, and he was along with like Adler and Freud. And, you know, the difference, though, with him is that he knew that there was something that could happen, that there was a solution, where Adler and Freud didn't think there was a solution. But, and we'll find even more about the solution that Carl Jung tells Roland Hazard about in some paragraphs later on. But what's interesting to me is that this is talking about a middle-of-the-road solution. And there, as we know, there's only door number one or door number two, but we try to find that middle solution, and there isn't a middle solution for somebody like me who's a true compulsive overeater. Even though this reminds me of going to a place, of going to, like, seminars that would teach me how to eat right, or going to a therapist. When I went to a therapist, I would never talk about my food. I mean, I wouldn't allow them to talk to me about the food. I always wanted to do was fix myself, and then I knew that once I fixed myself, then I could lose weight and everything would be okay. And that's the mental twist and the mental blank spot in my mind, which it talks about here at the end when it says, nevertheless, he was drunk in a short time. More baffling still, he could give himself no satisfactory explanation for his fall, because, see, don't you know, I went to all these famous people that taught me how to lose weight. I went on their diets. I tried to eat mindfully. I did all this kind of crazy stuff, thinking if I went to therapy, then figured out my problems, and then I would be okay and I would lose weight. All this craziness, all this middle-of-the-road solutions. And what's interesting to me is God is nowhere to be found in this particular paragraph. Like, there's only one solution for somebody like me, and that I need to rely on a power greater than myself, and I need the spiritual toolkit laid at my feet with the 12 steps, and I have to do it daily, and I have to give it away, and I have to keep my nose in this book all the time. That's why I know I love working with other people, because, you know, they don't get it, but they help me a lot. They help me stay recovered, and my full reliance needs to be on a power greater than myself, but I also need to give it away to others in order to keep it, and I have to continue to enlarge my spiritual life, and that's part of it to me, is being in this book and doing the work and relying on a power greater than myself. Because when people say, I've got it, I tell them all the time, you're scaring the heck out of me when you tell me you've got this thing, because I'll never have this thing. I have it one day at a time because of my higher power, and because it's 12 steps and 12 traditions, and that I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Jody EQ, you're up now, and then Cindy D will follow you.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie. Thank you, everybody. This is Jody EQ, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. anorexic and bulimic in California. So yes, gosh, ditto to everything I just heard. You know, that the solution that I've been given here in Overeaters Anonymous and on the Vision for You is, could be seen as profound knowledge of the inner workings of my mind and its hidden springs. It's here that I've acquired quite a bit of knowledge about my disease, that it's a physical allergy coupled with a mental obsession. But even that knowledge is not enough if I don't work the solution. I've also been given the solution, thank God, which is the 12 steps, the 12 traditions. And if I don't work those steps and those traditions on a daily basis, as has been said, then I too will relapse. So it's not through therapy that I acquired this knowledge of my mind. It's not through a treatment center in my case. I went to nutrition school thinking that that might help me. That didn't help at all. I've gone to therapy also. I'm not sure that I've been very honest with my therapist, though, about this disease. But it's here in A Vision for You that I have found the knowledge that I need. But I still have to put it to use. And I can't stop. I can't rest on my laurels, as has been said. So thank you all for being here and giving me the opportunity to do some part of my step work this morning. I thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody EQ. Cindy D., you're next, and then Linda will follow you.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And this discussion about self-knowledge, right on time for me. I've shared recently of some stuff I've been going through medically, and, you know, I've gone into periods of self-pity and self-wallowing and on total self-reliance. And I'm looking back now and I'm realizing that, you know, God has been with me, and each time that I was able to get to a place of giving it all to Him and surrendering, I got peace and serenity back. And I think that, you know, He brought me through all this, and this is all happening as part of my journey to remind me about self-reliance being one of my biggest problems. And that God reliance is the only solution for me. And, you know, thank God I haven't got back into the food, and only by the grace of God I haven't through all this. And just, you know, more aware today that the self-reliance is so lonely and so painful and so isolating. And I've made a conscious effort the last few days to reconnect with my higher power and with my fellows and to work my program harder. To take on a new sponsee and do all the things that I know work as part of the solution. And by God's grace, today I'm joyous, happy, and free. And that is such a miracle and such a gift. And I just wanted to share that for anyone who's out there struggling, that God can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And, you know, the self-knowledge, you know, even though it will continue to grow, it's not enough. It never will be for me. And I just hope a great and wonderful and beautiful recovery for everyone. It really works if you work it. Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks so much. And that was Cindy D. Linda S., you're next. And then Debbie. I'm not sure of the first initial of your last name, though, Debbie. Hi, Linda. You're up.
Hi. This is Linda S. I'm a recovering anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. I can relate to this so much. You know, I've been in and out of hospitals for so long, and it says, you know, your inner workings of his mind and its hidden springs of relapse is unthinkable. This last time I was in the hospital, I was so self-assured that I knew everything, and I pushed to get out sooner than I was supposed to because I wasn't relying on God. I was being self-reliant, and I thought, I couldn't do this. And I purged the day after I came home. And it says he was drunk in a short time. Well, that always happened to me. Every time I went into treatment, I would do what I was supposed to do, being self-reliant, and come out and so relapse. And so I'm so grateful to have found OA. I was in a partial program, and there was a note, there was a newspaper clipping on the door with the OA information along with the other things, and that's how I found OA. And I take that as I need to work with God. I took that as a God sign that, yes, you can't do it alone. You need God and you need other people. And so I'm so grateful for this program. And I'm doing better now because I'm with people, and I know people who are going through the same things I am. And it's different than leaving the hospital and just trying to do it on my own because I can't. It's not possible. I need to be God reliant. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Linda S. And we have Debbie up next. And then, Mags, we're going to have lots of time for your share, too. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, this is Debbie B., recovered compulsive overeater outside of Salt Lake City. I'm listening to all the people. I listened to part of the earlier meeting this morning, and I was thinking all the people on the lines and all of the training we have and all the books we've read and all the therapy and all of the self-knowledge that we have. We should all have PhDs in this, and yet we still couldn't stop eating. And I remember years ago, I actually went to therapists. I wasn't ever hospitalized. I probably should have been, but I wasn't. But I went to therapists who were, they specialized in eating disorders. And I remember one day my therapist said, okay, we're going to meet as a group with some other girls, her other clients, other patients. And they had us wrap Barbies. So they gave us all a Barbie, and then we were going to take paper mache and wrap them and make them have a normal body. And I remember sitting there thinking in tears, it doesn't matter how much paper mache I put on this Barbie, I can't stop eating. And they don't have enough. I mean, it sounds funny now, but it was awful. And I wanted to look like the Barbie. And I actually wasn't even born with a body that even if I lost 1,000 pounds, I look like a Barbie. But I wanted to look like that stinking Barbie. And it wasn't until fast forward so many therapists who I just, and I remember one therapist just kind of putting her hands in the air and saying, I don't know how to help you. I've given you all of the training I have and all everything, and I don't know why you don't stop eating compulsively. And kind of just threw her hands in the air. But it was not until I got in program, and it took me a while to learn it's spiritual, it's all spiritual. And I didn't realize that until I went through a very difficult and painful fourth and fifth step and realized all the lies I'd been telling myself over the years about people in my life and things in my life that I thought, I need these to be different for me to be okay. And if this doesn't change, I'm never going to be okay. And what about my dreams? And that's not what the program is about. It's not. When you do 10 steps, it's not whining about how somebody hurt you. It is, what is my part, whether it be big or small? And then your eyes are opened to the lies that you have been telling yourself. And it's those, that's just part of the problem that blocks us from our higher power. And that is what gives you sobriety and abstinence. I mean, yes, you have to put the food down, absolutely. But the higher power comes in and gives you the strength to tell you the truth. And when you know the truth will set you free. And so grateful for this program. I'm grateful that this is the first program I got to start with Vision instead of starting somewhere else. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Debbie B. Mag C., you're up. Mag C., press star 1, please, if you're there. How about if anyone else would like to take that slot today? It sounds like maybe she's not on board anymore.
Deborah P.
Hi, Deborah P. Let's go with you for now and see how time goes. Was there one more person that I heard?
Freedom, would I be able to take a share?
Freedom, let's see what happens with Deborah's time, and then I'll put you on the list in case she finishes up quickly, and then it's yours. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, good morning. This is Deborah P. from Northern California, not to be confused with Deborah P. from Southern California. Anyway, this meeting, I got on late. I listen every day on my way to work. And I so appreciate this meeting. I so appreciate this group. I've been struggling, and I called a member yesterday after hearing her share. And I actually had a really good day yesterday, and she put things in another, just the same, said the same thing that everybody says, but said it a different way and really put things in perspective for me. And I'm just so grateful for this group. I'm grateful for the love and compassion that this group has, that there's no judgment, and that we're all just doing this a day at a time. I love the support. I've been in OA, in and out for years, 25 years, and have been judged and judge myself, especially, and recently realize that I really need to be gentle with myself and loving, because I heard somebody say, like, would I talk to my friends the way that I talk to myself? And no, I wouldn't. So I just want to say I'm very grateful for this group. I'm grateful for the support and the love, that we're just one addict helping another, and that we're all broken, and we support one another rather than beat each other up. So thanks.
Thank you, Deborah P. Freedom H, we have a full 3 minutes for you. Press star one, please.
Hi, thank you so much. Thank you for all those who do service. I tried on my own, and I kept falling on my face with my own self-will to change. People are human and will fail me. And basically, until I was able to find unconditional love, I wasn't able to heal from a lot of, I was living with a lot of people in my life. I've lived with a lot of people that had sociopathic, codependent, narcissist, judgment, and especially conditional love. It wasn't until I found this program that I found unconditional love, and I found the higher power in God, that I was able to finally have power over. When my spiritual guide had told me to ask for power over my addiction, that's when there was a huge breakthrough. But when I just kept trying in my own self-will to do things, I kept falling on my face, and I was never able to change. And basically, I'm learning through this program that I need to self-care, and that I need to keep the focus on me, which is very hard because I'm addicted to focusing on everybody else. It's become such an addiction of living with other people. I kind of came a servant to everybody. But now that I'm independent, I'm learning to rely on the higher power and not on other people. So thank you so much, and I'll mute.
Thank you so much. That's Freedom H. You know, that wraps up the sharing part of the meeting today. We're going to stop this part by giving our thank yous and reading page 164, and then move right into greeting newcomers and getting sponsor information and announcements read to you today. So I wanted just to thank everyone this morning for being of service here and all their shares that made this meeting so rich. Thanks so much to Laura, Karen, Wendy, Mo and Leslie, and Elaine and Ramona and Leslie. So glad that you're here today. So if you would please, Mo H., please read page 164 from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous to close out the recording.
Yes, thank you, Melanie. Mo H. here, a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you